Translation. The impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself, because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss sought by great saintly persons. Yet he, the Supreme Person, is your most dear friend and constant well-wisher, and is intimately related to you as a son of your maternal uncle. Indeed, he is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable. Yet he acts as your servant and sometimes as your spiritual master. So in response, please. The impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself. Because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss sought by great saintly persons. Yet he, the Supreme Person, is your most dear friend and constant well-wisher, and is intimately related to you as the son of your maternal uncle. Indeed, he is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable. Yet he acts as your servant and sometimes as your spiritual master. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There is always a difference of opinion about the Absolute Truth. One class of transcendentalists concludes that the Absolute Truth is impersonal, and another class concludes that the Absolute Truth is personal, as a person. In Bhagavad Gita, the Absolute Truth is accepted as the Supreme Person. Indeed, that Supreme Person himself, Lord Krishna, instructs in Bagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, mata parataram nanyat. The impersonal Brahman is my partial manifestation, and there is no truth superior to me. That same Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acted as a supreme friend and relative of the Pandavas, and sometimes he even acted as their servant by carrying a letter from the Pandavas to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Because Krishna was a well-wisher of the Pandavas, he also acted as guru by becoming the spiritual master of Arjuna. Arjuna accepted Krishna as his spiritual master, Sishyaste ham sadimam tvam prapanam. And Krishna sometimes chastised him. For example, the Lord is asochyan and vasochyastvam pragya vadams chabhasate. The Lord said, asochyan and vasochyastvam pragya vadams chabhasate. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for that or what is not worthy of grief. The Lord is also kutastva kashmalam idam vishame sam upastitam. My dear Krishna, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? Such was the intimate relationship between the Pandavas and Krishna. In the same way, a pure devotee of the Lord is always with Krishna through thick and thin. His way of life is Krishna. This is the statement of the authority, Sri Narada Muni. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Garanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Kadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Hastachare Shacharine. So there's a big, always a big argument. Who is in person? Is the Lord impersonal or is he personal? And both are known as transcendentalists. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Rishabhadev said, Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahovimuktes, Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. That if one wants to avoid becoming degraded in this world and going down into ignorance and all kinds of abominable situations, then one has to take shelter of the Mahat. And here it's saying that, anyway, the Mahat is described as being both personal and impersonal. Why? Because he's trying to get out of this material world. He's trying to go beyond the three modes of material nature. And so it's possible even for an impersonalist to do that, for some time at least. But actually, Krishna here is saying that, but you're more fortunate than anybody. Even we're talking about Prahlad Maharaj. I mean, who can emulate Prahlad Maharaj, you know, thrown off a cliff, just chanted Hare Krishna, put into a pit of snakes, chanted Hare Krishna. What else? Put under the foot of an elephant. So this is great faith. But the Pandavas are even more fortunate than Prahlad Maharaj because they get Krishna's association all the time. Oh, very regularly. He stayed with them for so many months. Maharaj, Krishna wanted to leave. Maharaj said, oh, please stay a bit longer. Oh, okay then. He came back. Oh, I have to go now, Maharaj Yudhisthira. Just stay a little bit. Okay then. And this went on for quite a long time. And he said, now, oh, I have to go. This was after months and months. So Krishna's really obliged to his devotee. So in this way we can see that Maharaj Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, they're not ordinary personalities. They're not ordinary devotees. Actually, Maharaj Yudhisthira was also a great preacher. He performed this Rajasuya sacrifice at the, where all the, to prove himself to be the supreme personality, to prove that he was the undisputed king of the world. And so he had to bring all the kings to this Rajasuya sacrifice. And it just seemed like he was just putting himself in a glorification position. Sometimes a devotee has to do that. Sometimes, you know, Prabhu, I'm renounced. No, this is not renounced. This is probably, what is it called? Falgu Vairagya. We have to learn that everything can be used in Krishna's service. So sometimes a devotee, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, he has to be put on a pedestal and, you know, glorified. But why did he do it? So they become king of the earth? No, because at that point he said, now we have to find out who's the greatest personality in this assembly. And he has offered the first oblations. And then his brother stood up. They were in league together. Sahadev, I think it's Krishna. And he gives so many explanations why. And then Shishupal stood up and started blaspheming Krishna. And then we know what happened next. But So eventually Krishna was established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that was Maharaj Yudhisthira's qualification. That he was actually, he did it all just to glorify and put Krishna in the centre. So this is a devotee. So this particular verse is saying that there are many who are not putting Krishna in the centre, but they're called transcendentalists. And these transcendentalists are capable of achieving liberation, or what is it called? Siddha. Manushanam Saharsheshu Kaschit Satyatari Siddhaye. That out of many, many millions of people, hardly any, many endeavor for perfection, and some achieve this perfection. And that perfection is described as being liberated. But out of those who are liberated, hardly one knows Krishna. And so this is what the beginning of this second verse, of the first off part of this verse is explaining this point that about the difference between the impersonalists and the personalists. And so this is nicely explained. So there's the Siddhas and the Narayana Parayana. Muktanam Apisiddhanam Narayana Parayana Surdurabha Prashantatma Kotish Api Mahamuni. So this is a very nice verse from the 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is stating the position of a devotee. Muktanam Api Siddhanam. So is that a devotee? Muktanam and Siddhanam. It sounds like it. Liberated and perfect. But the verses say no, this can be an impersonalist. And a devotee is Narayana Parayana. He's completely surrendered to Krishna. And so, I can just speak a little bit about this, if it's possible. That in general, in the Vedic system, people would eventually work through life and become detached, they become disgusted with material life. Then they take to Vanaprastha, and then after some time they take to Sannyas. And then hopefully they would renounce the world. But it said very few could do that. Because it was an impersonal process, they couldn't become attached to anything and they fell down again to a materialistic way of life. So this is the... It says, but out of those who... they would be... what is it? Yes, so this type of person who was on the impersonal path, they would be considered offenders by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya says that Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. They're thinking that everything's Maya. They're not putting Krishna in the equation. And so these are one type of transcendentalists. They're Jnanis, Kamis, and Yogis. And also there's Mayavadis. Where do the Mayavadis fit in? The Mayavadis are also considered Siddhas. Why? Because they realize the futility of material life and they try to liberate themselves. And they can do that up to a point. There are two kinds of... there's the impersonalists and the personalists we're talking about. So they both can be Siddhas or liberated. So the impersonalists are one type, and then there's the personalists. They're of two types. What are the two types of impersonalists? Eh? Well, one's impersonalist. We said there's two types of jnanis. He's the first class of persons who are seeking to get liberated. One is impersonalist, so that's a Brahmavad, isn't it? And the other one is personalist. And it says there's two kinds of personalists. So what's the two types of personalists? It's in the Bhagavad Gita, actually. One is one believes that the form of the Lord is Satchitananda Vigraha. This is a devotee. But another one is a Mayavadi. He can also be a personalist to some degree. But he thinks the form of the Lord is Maya. It's illusory. Or it's temporary. It's made of matter. So that's why the Mayavadis are considered the greatest offenders, because they're negating the form of the Lord. The impersonalists don't do that, but the Mayavadis do. In the beginning of this chapter, it explains how a question was asked about... Yeah, about the different kinds of people who can approach Krishna. So anybody who approaches Krishna, and even he was talking about Shishupal, how Shishupal approached Krishna with the envy. Now envy, usually we can't use it in any way in devotional service. And so Maharaj Arjuna said, when he saw that Shishupal was decapitated and he saw the effulgence of his soul merging to Krishna, he said, what's going on? You know, he's just been blaspheming all his life. How has this happened? And Maharaj Yudhisthira asked Narada Muni, who was present, and he said this took place in the conversation in this beginning of this canto, the 7th chapter, that Parikshit Maharaj asked the same question from Shukadev Goswami, and Shukadev Goswami told him that we can approach Krishna in any way, so we can be a personalist even if we're a Mayavadi to some degree. So, you know, if we're absorbed in Krishna in envy, in anger, as a devotee, service to Krishna, it says that we can approach Krishna in that way and we can become purified. But what's the catch? We have to control the senses. Some of these Prakriti Sahajas, they also think they can just act on the platform of being a gopi or even Krishna. And, you know, by acting on that platform, they'll eventually come to the perfection of being a close associate of the Lord. That's what they say anyway. But in that particular verse, it says that one has to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. So yes, even if we have, if we're in the modes of passion and ignorance, this is why we can become purified, because even though we have these modes, if we are trying to follow the process by controlling the senses and engaging in the process of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and hearing, then these lower modes are purified away. So, those who follow the impersonalist path, they, at some point they fall down into material life because there's no standing in devotional service. They've no respect for the lotus feet of the Lord, so they fall down to material life again. Avagin anti mamuda manasim tanam ashritam parambhava magaram tam amabhutva maheshwaram. They're fools and rascals, just like the general population, even though they made so much endeavour. Mogasya mogakamana mogajnana vichetasa rakshasim asurim cheva. What's the last one? Mogajnana vichetasa amabhutva maheshwaram Prakriti Moim Ashvitaha. He says their hopes for liberation, their cultivation of knowledge, and their fruitive activities are all defeated. Why? They just seem to get benefit. Why are they defeated? You see, the impersonalists, they're enjoying fame, adoration. The many fruitive workers, they're enjoying life like anything, at least by material standards. Cultivation of knowledge, many learned people, they're all defeated because ultimately death comes and takes everything, everything becomes zero. This is why it says that only that jnanis and karmis, they need standing, they need to have a tinge of devotional service in their activities to make them worthwhile. Then they make progress in life. Otherwise it amounts to zero. And then there's the Bhakta, does he need these two things? No, because he can just perform devotional service and that's enough. He can engage fully in devotional service and achieve the goal of life. These other things are secondary. Krishna says to those who engage in my devotional service, meditating on my transcendental form, then I'll carry what they like and preserve what they have. We're very fortunate, actually, that we've got this process of devotional service. There's so many deviations. So in this age of Kali, what is it? Prayana alpa yasa shubhya kaluvasme yuge ganaha mandasu manna mateya mangya manna bhagya upadrataha. That, people are short duration of life, lazy, quarrelsome, unfortunate. Even if a person is interested in spiritual life, there's so many deviations that can take us away. Just like when the Beatles, when they were in America, about that time, they were taking shelter of Mahesh Yogi, this person, that person. And eventually George Harrison, by good fortune, took shelter of Prabhupada. And so, to come to devotional service is a really, we have to be very, very fortunate. I was thinking when I first started taking up devotional service, I used to go for a walk with my japa beads, and I've been reading the Science of Self-Realization or some similar literature. I used to be thinking, it's amazing how fortunate I am. That, I used to look at all the blades of grass and then look up and see all the fields. I thought, there's a soul in every one of these living entities. What to speak in a square, a cubic, 3 inches cube? How many billions of living entities are living there? And then we're in a position where we've come to the human form of life and we've got the opportunity to render devotional service. And so, we tend to forget that. We tend to take everyday temple life as being the normal. This is what everybody's doing. You get into this mentality, but it's not. It's completely different. And so, In this verse, Narada Muni is explaining, you don't know your good fortune, Mahayurisaya. You've got the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how can these people become fortunate? What's the answer? We were saying yesterday how, you know, we have to give devotional service as well as take it. A person cannot come to devotional service merely by knowledge, by austerities, by penance, by so many practices, but by the mercy of a devotee. And so all these people become fortunate, he's describing in the Bhagavatam, by serving a devotee, Shushusho Shraddhanasya, Vasudeva Kataruti, Shanmahat Sevayavipa, Punyatirtha Nishevanat. So we're serving that pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. He's completely free from all material contamination. And therefore, by that service, we get an affinity for what? What's the affinity we get? For hearing. It starts to cleanse the heart, and the tendency to want to hear about devotional service starts to become prominent. And that's actually how we attract Krishna. He says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnane Priyasa Mudupasya Namanti Eva. Jivanti Sanma Karitam Varadiya Vatman Stane Tsitasya Shruti Gatim Shanu Tanuvan Manobir Ye Prayaso Jita Jita Api Tristrilokyam. Tristrilokyam, three worlds. Nobody can conquer Krishna. We're all trying to conquer Krishna. He says, but he doesn't have to become one of these jnanis, one of these yogis, or any great transcendentalist. He says, first instruction is, stay in your own social position. Be satisfied with your particular conditioning and work through that. But at the same time, have a good attitude towards hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with faith and veneration. And by that attitude of hearing, Krishna becomes conquered. Very easy. He's not conquerable by anybody in the three worlds, but we can stay in our own social position and just hear Krishna Katha, and one can become perfect. It's a natural psychology, isn't it? Why does Krishna become pleased? Krishna is not like us, but the same psychology can be implemented. Is that when somebody mentions our name, if we're in a room and somebody at the end of the room mentions our name and we hear it, what do? Immediately, the ears are up. What's this person saying about me? Is it good? And so a Krishna's the same when he hears that somebody's hearing about, somebody's interested. Just like a young woman or a young boy, they're attracted to the opposite sex. And some, you know, a friend comes up and says, there's a young lady interested in you. What? Who is it? What does she look like? Where does she live? How old is she? So many questions. And so actually this is the same psychology in devotional service. If we're actually interested in obtaining the darshan of the Lord, we'll want to know about that person. Is that right? And so we have to develop that. By hearing, we develop that sentiment. By hearing about something regularly, we start to develop a devotional sentiment about Krishna. This is why Prabhupada, in the beginning, he particularly realized that he wouldn't necessarily complete all his writings. He had to go all the way through the Bhagavatam before he could get to the Krishna book. So he knew the essence of devotional service is what? To become attracted to Krishna. So he specifically wrote the Krishna book so that devotees could develop that that affection for hearing about Krishna. All the rest of the Bhagavatam is to bring us to that point. So one who has that taste for hearing about Krishna is very, very fortunate. This is explained in the Nectar of Devotion about the, what's it say, the qualifications, fourth chapter, I think it is. The qualifications for devotional service. And it starts stating some of the qualifications. But it says, but one who has a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he's got a big advantage. And so, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Vidantaksto hibadvane vidonotis ritsatam. That Krishna's in the heart, and when he sees a sincere desire for hearing properly, then the heart becomes cleansed. And then, as we were saying earlier, that these impersonalists, they can fall down from the path, the jnanis and the yogis. But even if a devotee has got sex desire within the heart, he says, if we hear and keep hearing, eventually all these disturbing elements will be purified away. This is the most powerful process. And then last part about this purport, it said that, I'm reading from this Muktanam Apisidanam purport. He says that there are many 90 million demigods. I thought it was 30 million. But it says 90 million here. Eh? 33 million. What should we do? And then there's 70 million sages. He said all these sages, they're described as being Narayana Ayana. Narayana Ayana. That means they can be performing some kind. What is it? The difference between the siddhas, let me read it. There are 90 million demigods and 70 million sages who are called Narayan Ayana, devotees of Lord Narayan. Among them, only a few are called Narayana Parayana. And then the next verse, it says that the difference between the siddhas and the Narayana Parayanas is that that direct devotees are called Narayana Parayana, whereas those who perform various types of mystic yoga are called siddhas. So, get to something more practical. So we're talking about good fortune. It's just like when it says in this particular purport to this verse how Krishna went personally to Dhritarashtra, what was the other person? Duryodhana, to try and mitigate the differences between the Pandavas and the Kauravas and save them from being a battle. But he did that more than once. Actually, Krishna sent also a Krura to the palace of Dhritarashtra to see when the Pandavas were living there earlier in their life, to see how they were being treated. And and so a Krura went with a message from Krishna stating that, you know, it's better if you just actually come clean. You can take some of the kingdom, but give some of the kingdom to the Pandavas. And then he preached devotional service. Krishna told the Krura what to say, and so he was preaching very nicely. And Dhritarashtra, at the end of it, we're talking about attitude. That we get the association of a devotee or the advantage of the association of a devotee by our attitude. And Dhritarashtra said, your words are like nectar. He says, but they do not stand in my heart, because I'm too attached to my sons. So this is the option we have in devotional service all the time, isn't it? We can hear and we can accept it and do something about it. But Dhritarashtra, he could have done something about it. He chose to be attached to his sons. So our words do not stand in my heart. It was a mockery towards Krura. And so a devotee has to, you know, this change of heart is actually a conscious thing that we do. We may be chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and it's purifying the heart. But it's the attitude in which we chant it. Do we want to be purified? Do we want to engage in devotional service 100%? It's all a matter of our, our desire, our sincere desire. And so on the other hand, Akrura himself, he was given, so sometimes a devotee may be easy and he may reject. He may be difficult, but another devotee may take up the process very sincerely. Just like Akrura, he was a devotee and he was sent by Krishna, or he was sent by Kamsa, to Vrindavan. Anybody know that errand? Why was he sent? Yeah, and what did Kamsa want to do with Krishna? He wanted to kill him, and he told Akrura, he said, when he comes, we'll have an elephant waiting for him and his brother, and then, you know, we'll crush him. And if that fails, then I've got Mushtika and Chanur here. What chance did he have, a young boy? Well, what did Akrura, you know, what would a devotee think in that situation? He had so much faith that, anyway, Krishna can deal with this, and I'll get the association of Krishna. And so he went with a wholehearted enthusiasm. So whatever the situation in devotional service, it's not likely that we'll be faced with the same difficulty that Akrura had to face. But we should still be positive. And so Akrura went on the way, was thinking about how Krishna would greet him and what the exchanges would be like. He was positive all the way. And then when he saw Krishna, and he came to the edge of Vrindavan, he saw Krishna's lotus feet in this dust. He immediately got down off the chariot and started rolling on the ground. Now that might seem like that's not a difficult thing for a devotee. But we have to remember Akrura's situation. He was one of the advisors to Kamsa, and Kamsa didn't like Krishna. And so, you know, if people got to know that Akrura was, you know, rolling in the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna, his life wouldn't be worth much. And also, he was a very respectable person. You know, for somebody to get down off his chariot and start rolling in the dust, and he's a respectable person. Can you imagine an MP doing that? You know, somebody who's up in a high position. This is a Akrura situation, but he quite voluntarily had the right attitude. And one or two other reasons are actually given as well. So, to become Narayana Parayana is a state of our attitude towards Krishna, not just a state of unconsciously performing devotional service, but doing it with the aim of, first of all, pleasing the spiritual master through his instructions. And then by pleasing the spiritual master, we come to the mode of performing devotional service in goodness. And then when we perform devotional service in the mode of goodness, then we can come to start to develop some attraction for Krishna, because then we see Krishna in our daily activities. In the mode of passion and ignorance, it's very difficult to see Krishna in the equation. But in the mode of doing devotional service in duty, we start to see Krishna working through that situation. Yes, so anyway, it's 25 past. We can maybe stop here, and if there's any comments or questions.